A man stands before a Renaissance painting in a quiet museum, his pulse quickening, skin tingling with what he calls a blow to the heart. Within minutes, the artwork vanishes into his jacket. Over 7 years, Stefan Breitweiser would repeat this scene nearly 300 times, amassing a secret collection worth up to $2 billion, yet he never sold a single piece. Unlike the calculated criminals who dominate headlines, Breitweiser was driven by something far more dangerous, pure, unfiltered obsession with beauty. His story isn't about greed or fame. It's about what happens when desire consumes reason, when the need to possess beauty eclipses everything else, love, freedom, even sanity itself. Breitweiser's path to infamy began in childhood, digging through dirt with his grandfather, searching for medieval pottery shards and ancient fragments. These weren't just objects to young Stefan, they were things that held my heart, pieces of history that never disappointed or abandoned him. Unlike people, beautiful objects remained constant, loyal, eternal. Born into privilege in 1971, he grew up surrounded by antiques and paintings in a grand home, developing a fierce attachment to material beauty that would define his entire existence. When his parents divorced and his father stripped their home of every heirloom, 19-year-old Breitweiser watched his world collapse. The family moved to a modest apartment furnished with IKEA, a humiliating descent that shattered his identity. How does a socially awkward young man from Alsace, France, become history's most prolific art thief? And what drives someone to risk everything for treasures they can never share with the world? Socially awkward Breitweiser believed he was born in the wrong century. At a 1991 party, he met Anne Catherine Kleinklaus, a nurse's assistant who became the only person who understood his hunger for beauty. In 1994, when he whispered about stealing an 18th century flintlock pistol from a museum, her response launched their partnership. Go ahead, take it. Over 7 years, they would commit nearly 300 thefts. Breitweiser experienced coup de cœur, a blow to the heart, when encountering beauty. His skin tingled, heart raced, and electric vibrations spreading through his body. This was Stendhal syndrome, where art physically overwhelms the viewer. Unlike typical thieves motivated by profit, he stole only pieces triggering this visceral reaction. He researched targets through museum brochures and art magazines. On Anne Catherine's days off, they took weekend road trips across France and Switzerland. Their approach was improvisational. More than half their visits yielded nothing when security was tight or no artwork inspired him. His only tool? A Swiss Army knife. By 1995, they successfully stole on roughly 3 out of 4 weekends. Between heists, Breitweiser created meticulous files for each piece, complete with photocopied references and handwritten notes in 3 languages. Behind a locked attic door in his mother's Mulhouse home, Breitweiser and Anne Catherine created an extraordinary private museum. Their bedroom featured a 4-poster bed surrounded by stolen masterpieces, ivory sculptures, Napoleon's golden tobacco box, silver goblets, and oil paintings by Renaissance and Baroque masters, Cranach, Bruegel, Boucher, Watteau, Durer. Anne Catherine called it Ali Baba's cave. This secret world remained strictly off-limits. The isolation suited Breitweiser, who considered most people uninteresting and fantasized about escaping to a deserted island with Anne Catherine and their treasures. As one psychotherapist observed, art has taken the place of society for him. Their closed universe included an involuntary third member, Breitweiser's mother, Mireille, who knew, yet didn't know, trapped between maternal love and the law. Breitweiser's devastating success stemmed from his counterintuitive philosophy. The optimal crime is the most boring one possible. He exploited regional museums' reliance on public trust over sophisticated security. His techniques were brilliantly simple: the silicone slice to open cases, joining tours and lingering behind, even chatting with guards. He once argued with police over a parking ticket while concealing stolen altarpiece panels in his jacket. At the European Fine Art Fair in Maastricht, he stole a Jan van Kessel painting while security was distracted, then mailed the dealer for the love of art, and for Anne Catherine, my two passions. Investigators were baffled. Breitweiser didn't sell, extort, or use pieces as criminal currency. He stole erratically across countries, taking varied items, never attempting profit. Art crime experts considered the scenario virtually non-existent. He had discovered the perfect crime. Take what you love, share it with no one, leave no trail. Psychotherapist Michelle Schmidt labeled him a profound narcissist who viewed himself as a literal seer, someone uniquely qualified to possess fine art. Breitweiser believed his crimes victimless since he never invaded homes or employed violence. Other assessments painted him as emotionally immature and pathologically impulsive, an adult who has not learned to cope with the frustrations of the real world. Anne Catherine's role proved particularly revealing. Psychologists described her fragile personality as susceptible to manipulation. While she aided his crimes, experts agreed her participation stemmed from emotional dependency rather than criminal intent. By early 1997, after nearly 2 years of stealing, Anne Catherine showed severe anxiety. After their first arrest in Lucerne, Breitweiser, despite her protests, stole a Willem van Elst still life 50 meters from the police station. Their escape lasted 20 steps. The Lucerne arrest shattered their relationship. Anne Catherine revealed she'd secretly arranged an abortion months earlier, knowing his obsession left no room for a child. Her ultimatum was stark: it's art or me. His silence answered everything. She compromised with new rules: fewer thefts, more careful planning, no daylight risks. The truce lasted 4 weeks. In November 2001, Breitweiser stole a 400-year-old bugle from the Richard Wagner Museum, breaking every rule by not wearing gloves and stealing in the country where they'd been arrested before. When Anne Catherine returned to clean his fingerprints, he was arrested outside. Upon learning this, his mother, Mireille, went to the attic and was overwhelmed by the collection's magnitude. In a destructive frenzy, she swept objects off furniture, yanked down paintings, and stuffed items into garbage bags. She drove to the Rhone-Rhine Canal and dumped the first load. The 150-pound Virgin Mary statue was abandoned at a church. Three copper paintings became patches for a henhouse roof. Finally, she gathered more than 60 oil paintings in a clearing and set them ablaze. While Breitweiser believes she acted to protect him, his mother told police, "I wanted to hurt my son, to punish him for all the hurt he caused me." Masterpieces worth billions, works that had survived wars, revolutions, and centuries, were lost forever. After prison, Breitweiser attempted redemption, publishing a memoir, planning to become an art security consultant, and reconciling with his father. But in 2006, while traveling to meet his publisher, he impulsively stole clothing from an airport boutique. The arrest shattered everything. His father cut contact, his friend abandoned him, his book launch collapsed. He briefly found stability with Stephanie Mongin, another nurse's assistant who resembled Anne Catherine. But in 2009, he stole a Peter Breggel the Younger painting worth $50 million. Unlike Anne Catherine, Stephanie photographed it and reported him. Released in 2015 at 44 and penniless, Breitweiser kept a reproduction of his favorite stolen work, Sibylle of Cleves. Desperate for money, he returned to theft, stealing Roman coins and artifacts to sell online. Police arrested him again in 2019. Before this arrest, he visited the Rubens House Museum to see his beloved Adam and Eve ivory, now restored. Overwhelmed at seeing the piece he once possessed, he wept in the courtyard, realizing his life peaked during his thieving years. As he left, he stole a museum booklet featuring the ivory's image, a final, pathetic echo of his former glory. Anne Catherine built a quiet life, purchasing a modest apartment, continuing her hospital work, raising her son, born in 2003. She avoided any contact with Breitweiser or his mother. Her lawyer said, "Breitweiser will be the great tragedy in her life, but nothing more. Yet the extraordinary experiences, handling Renaissance silver, carrying masterpieces in her purse, proved impossible to truly forget. Breitweiser's story is a tragedy of obsession. A man who loved beauty so much he destroyed his life to possess it, only to lose everything. In his quest to liberate art from museums, he ensured dozens of masterpieces would never be seen again. Beauty became his prison, obsession his warden. His repeated returns to theft reveal the unbreakable chains of his addiction. The coup de cœur that once electrified him now haunts him as phantom pain, a reminder that true appreciation doesn't require possession, that beauty shared enriches the soul while beauty hoarded destroys it.